I do greet you in Jesus' name, one who came down from heaven, was God, and then died for us so that we could leave this place behind and go to a better place. You can open your Bibles to 1 Chronicles 13. And I want to read this chapter. 1 Chronicles 13. And David consulted with the captains of thousands and hundreds and with every leader. And David said unto all the congregation of Israel, if it seem good unto you, if it seem good unto you, and maybe I'll have Daniel read the chapter. Daniel, read the chapter.
If it seem good unto you, and that it be of the Lord our God, let us send abroad unto our brethren everywhere that are left in all the land of Israel, and with them also to the priests and Levites which are in their cities and suburbs, that they may gather themselves unto us. And let us bring again the ark of our God to us, for we inquired not of him in the days of Saul. And all the congregation said that they would do so, for the thing was right in the eyes of all the people. So David gathered all Israel together, from Shihor of Egypt even unto the entering of Hamath, to bring the ark of God from Kirjath-Jearim. David went up, and all Israel, to Baalah, that is to Kirjath-Jearim, which belonged to Judah, to bring up thence the ark of God, the Lord, that dwelleth between the cherubims, whose name is called on it. And they carried the ark of God in a new cart out of the house of Abinadab, and Uzzah and Ahio drove the cart, drave the cart. And David and all Israel played before God with all their might, with the singing and with harps and the psalteries and the timbrels and the cymbals and with trumpets. And when they came unto the threshing floor of Chidon, Uzzah put forth his hand to hold the ark, but the oxen stumbled. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and he smote him because he put his hand to the ark, and there he died. And David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah, wherefore that place is called Perez Uzzah to this day. And David was afraid of God that day, saying, how shall I bring the ark of God home to me? So David brought not the ark home to himself to the city of David, but carried it aside into the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. And the ark of God remained with the family of Obed-Edom in his house 3 months. And the Lord blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that he had.
This is a very, I find it a very interesting account as we look at what happened here in this chapter. We have Uzzah being smitten, killed, because he reached out and touched the ark. And this morning I want to think of the thought of relating casually to a holy God. It's good to relate to God. We need to relate to God. It's important that we relate to God, but there is something wrong here. Now, this was a big event. David had gotten this. I believe this was very early in David's reign, as he was in Jerusalem, and it was in his heart that he wanted to bring the ark to Jerusalem, where he was, the place where God had chosen, and that was a good thing. And he didn't just do this in a one afternoon, sent his servants to do it, but he gathered all the important men of Israel and all of Israel, it says. And so there was crowds and crowds and crowds of people here as the ark was being brought to Jerusalem. And you know what they did? Of course, you know what had happened. The Philistines had put that ark on a cart, and had brought it back to them, because the God of Israel was, should I say, in that ark. I don't know if that's the right way to say it, but it was certainly very much associated with that ark. Where did God dwell? Did he dwell above the ark, between the cherubims, or in the ark, or where did he dwell? The God of Israel was very much, in that ark. Okay, just bear with me and allow me to use that phrase, even if it might not be totally correct. But the God of Israel was in that ark, and when it was put there with the gods of the Philistines, the gods of the Philistines could not stand it. Neither could the Philistines stand having God with them, because they got sick. And so finally they sent it back on that cart with the cows just lowering as they went, and they sent some sacrifices too, right? Some gold mice, and I'm not sure what all else was along. I forget. They sent their sacrifices too. And then when they got into Israel, they parked it there at, this is where they parked it. I don't remember. No, they didn't park it here. They had opened it up, and they had become plagued because they'd opened up the ark, and so they moved it to this man's house. And that's where it was. It's been there for, I suppose, many years. That would have been before Saul. Before Saul was king, that would happen, I would suppose. So it would have been 40, 50, 60 years that it was here at his house. But David's desire was to bring the ark to Jerusalem. And he had all everybody come. I don't know how many that was. I don't know who all didn't come, but there were lots and lots of crowds there, I suppose, lining the road that went from this place to Jerusalem. And off they went. They got them a new cart, ark. Then they got them a new cart, and off they went down the road. And they were rejoicing. They were happy. They were glad that David was going to bring the ark to Jerusalem, and that's where it was going to be, and this was going on, and they were just having a good time. They were rejoicing and in what God was doing, and that God could be with them there at Jerusalem. And then the ark stumbled, and Uzzah reached out to, I guess, stabilize the oxen, stumbled the ark, and Uzzah reached out to stabilize the ark, and he was dead. It says, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah. Now they were rejoicing in God, they were praising God, they were singing, they were having a good time worshiping God, and the whole time, God was in that ark. He was brooding, he was upset, he was angry at what was happening. Not that he was angry, they were worshiping him. There's something wrong going on. And when Uzzah finally reached out and touched that cart, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and he died. And immediately they stopped. Of course they stopped, and David didn't know what to do, and David was angry at God because of what God had done. Yes, wasn't he? Does it say displeased? Okay. He was displeased at what God had done. He was troubled at what God had done. He wasn't sure what was going on. And they parked it there where they were, and the whole event was canceled, and everybody went home. What had gone wrong? Well, if you look at chapter 15 of 1 Chronicles, we see them doing it again in chapter 15. And I'm going to read the first four verses. And David made him houses in the city of David and prepared a place for the ark of God and pitched for it a tent. Then David said, "None ought to carry the ark of God but the Levites, for them hath God chosen to carry the ark of God and to minister unto him forever." And David gathered all Israel together to Jerusalem to bring up the ark of the Lord unto his place, which he had prepared for it. And David assembled the children of Aaron and the Levites, and it goes on, and he talks about who he assembled, I don't know if it says how long a time it was. It wasn't a very long time. Seems to me it was 3 months, but for some reason. But it wasn't a very long time, and David gathered the children of Israel together, and he gathered the sons of Aaron and the Levites and the people in charge of the ark and of the tabernacle and of the temple. The temple wasn't built at that time. And he gathered them together, and he then brought the ark to Jerusalem. I'm going to read chapter 15, verse 11 through 15. And David called for Zadok and Abiathar the priests, and for the Levites, and the other Levites mentioned here, and said unto them, verse 12, "Ye are the chief of the fathers of the Levites, sanctify yourselves, both ye and your brethren, that ye may bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel unto the place that I have prepared for it. For because ye did it not, at the first the Lord our God made a breach upon us, for that we sought him not after the due order. So the priests and the Levites sanctified themselves to bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel." And so but here it says, he says, we didn't do it according to the proper order. And then he says, "I want you to sanctify yourselves." And of course they sanctified themselves, and then this time they didn't put it on a cart, but they carried it. And they had a time of rejoicing, where they sang, and they had the, it talks about the trumpets and the cornet and the cymbals and psalteries and the harps, and they gathered all Israel together again, and they took the ark to Jerusalem, to the tabernacle that David had set up. And it worked, and all was well. Now it is interesting, I'm going to read verse 25, 1 Chronicles 15, verse 25 and 26. So David and the elders of Israel and the captains over thousands went to bring up the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of the house of Obed-Edom with joy. And it came to pass, when God helped the Levites that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, that they offered 7 bullocks and 7 rams. It says here that when God helped the Levites, what does that mean? I assume what that means is that instead of there being a judgment upon them, that God was with them, and he allowed them to carry him and move him. And when they went, did they go 7 steps is what it says? Maybe somewhere later it says that. But anyway, they hadn't gone very far. Well, they stopped and they offered sacrifices to God, of worship to God. And then they proceeded on to Jerusalem with joy and singing. And David was ecstatic, and he was leaping and jumping and praising God. He was full of worship to God. And that's when Michael saw him and despised him because of his joy in the Lord, because of his worship, how he was worshiping God. Well, as I look at this passage, I see them relating casually to a holy God. Even though they were worshiping him, they were relating casually to a holy God. You know, God had come to dwell with them in the tabernacle. He had come to dwell with them in the tabernacle there. But he didn't just all of a sudden just show up. It required a lot of preparation. They built the tabernacle, and if you read those boring chapters about the you know, the length and the breadth and the shittim wood, and then it tells you how to build it, and then it tells you how they built it, and it's almost all the same. You wonder why he had to include all of these verses. Couldn't you just say they did just like God said? But no, he says, then they got the shittim wood and they made it, you know, the five cubits and the brass and the tacks and all that stuff. And it's but it always says, according to the pattern that was shown them in the mount. According to the pattern that was shown to Moses in the mount. That's how they did it. And they got it all together. They got the tabernacle together. They got the curtain around it. They got the brazen altar there. They had the laver there. They got the candlesticks there and the showbread. And they had the incense there. And then they had the Holy of Holies there. And then they had the ark in there, and they had the cherubims there. And they had it all prepared according to the pattern that God had shown them on the mount. And then there was God, and God came, and they got all this ready. And then in 2 Chronicles, well, in 2 Chronicles 7, we have Solomon doing the same thing, where he builds the temple, and then they offered sacrifices more than they could number, and then he prayed, and then in 2 Chronicles 7 verse 1 it says, now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. And God was there. But it didn't just happen. There was a lot of preparation made. There was sanctification. There was according to the pattern. And once a year, the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies, where God was, not without blood. Now, what happened in David's time, when Uzzah was killed, was they decided to take God into Jerusalem, and they didn't sanctify the priests. And they didn't do it according to the way God had prescribed. Now God could bear if the Philistines didn't know how to carry the ark. But the Levites knew how to transport the ark. Certainly they did. Most certainly they did. And so they just got God and they plopped him on the cart and off they went bouncing down the street. And that's not how you relate to God. In Acts 2, we have fire coming down from heaven again. Right? Where did it come from? It didn't come from heaven. We have fire coming down from heaven again. And God was coming to be with man. It's the very, very same thing, I believe, as what happened in 2 Chronicles 7 when God came down there into the temple. The very same thing, only this time God wasn't going to come into a holy of holies box, but he was coming to a place that had been purified and sanctified. He was coming to dwell in our hearts, and so he came down, and then the fire divided up and rested upon the disciples of Jesus. And he dwelt in man. In man, yes. He dwelt in man. But that didn't happen just haphazardly either. It wasn't just because Peter had preached somehow that it happened, although Peter had preached. But it was that had happened because a sinless man had needed to die. And there was no sinless man to die so that God could live with us, in us. And so God's own Son died so that we could be cleansed. And so God could dwell in us. It wasn't just some haphazard and careless thing. It was a very, very costly thing that God should come and dwell in us. And that's why we're thinking about the subject of relating casually to a holy God. Because God is holy. And to have God dwell in us is very, very special and is going to require some things of us. Something that Uzzah somehow and those people failed to do. In Matthew 10, verse 28, that familiar verse, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." You know, the psalmist David, I better not say David, the psalmist said, "God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him." God is greatly to be feared. Now, we are to love God. And yes, Abraham was called the friend of God. And that's very appropriate. And we're supposed to come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And those all are true. But still, God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints and had in reverence of all them that are about him. I think I memorized that verse when Becky and I were dating, and that was one of the verses we memorized in our courtship. So don't view that all as just wasted effort, okay? One of those verses might stick if you do those kind of things in your courtship, okay? One of them might. But anyway, we are to fear him greatly. And that's going to change the way we relate to him. Now, not everybody treats God in high regard. We want to look at some instances of individuals that treated God with low regard. And I want to think, first of all, of Uzziah in 2 Chronicles 29. You know what happened to Uzziah? He went into the temple when he wasn't supposed to. He wasn't a priest, he was a king. Now, a king had a lot of authority, but he wasn't authorized to go into the temple. And he wasn't wanted to go in. He wanted to go in there and do the work of the priest. And the priests were alarmed. But he went in there anyway, and then he wasn't supposed to go in there. And God smote him with leprosy. And then the priest didn't have any question about whether they were going to grab hold of the king and take him out of the temple. They grabbed a hold of him and escorted him out. But there was a failure to hold God in high regard and treat him in high regard. He treated God with low regard, and he was struck with leprosy till the day that he died. I had to think of Jeroboam, he made those idols of gold, those golden calves, and turned Israel's heart away from God, and they followed the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that caused Israel to sin. But God sent a prophet to Jeroboam down there at Bethel, was it? I think it was at Bethel. Is that where it was? Some people think it was Bethel. God sent a prophet to Jeroboam where he offered those sacrifices, and that man of God prophesied against him, and Jeroboam said, "Grab that man!" What happened? His hand just withered up. He said, "Pray for me." And the prophet prayed for him, and his hand came back again. And he said, "Oh, come to my house and eat now." And the man said, "I can't come to your house because God said I need to return just the way I need to return just the way that I came, and I can't eat here." But Jeroboam didn't have a high regard for God and his prophet, and he said, "Grab that man." You better have respect for God. I had to think of Nadab and Abihu. Right there, as the tabernacle worship was being inaugurated and initiated, right then, God had told them, "This is the incense that you use, and this is the fire." And they offered strange fire to God. Right there in the very act of opening up the temple worship. And God smote them and they died there. They had low regard for God and his word. Have to think of Belshazzar, the king of the world, the king of Babylon, as he was vaunting his power, and you know, there he was. He was surrounded by an army that was trying to overthrow him, and he was throwing a party. He was throwing a party because he didn't care. They couldn't conquer Babylon. They couldn't get in, and he was going to just enjoy his life. And on top of it all, he said, "Oh, okay." He didn't have to have a high regard for the Persians, but he needed to have a high regard for God. And he said, "Oh yeah, go get those vessels out of the temple from the God of Jerusalem, the God of Israel. You go get those, and we're going to drink our wine out of those vessels tonight." He didn't have a very high regard for God, did he? No, he had a very, very low regard for God. And then they saw that finger writing those words, and he was scared to death. He said, "Somebody, get somebody to read that." And Daniel finally came in and he said, "You know what you did. You know what Nebuchadnezzar, your grandfather, your father did. That's tonight. Tonight, thy soul will be required of thee." He died that very night. The kingdom fell. There needs to be a fear of God. We cannot relate to God just casually, like as if, you know, and just go about our business and tag along with us. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Just, yes, simply describe mankind. Joseph, down there in Egypt, way down there in Egypt, all by himself, tempted by Potiphar's wife, he had a high regard for God. And he said, How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And God was with him. And God was with him, yes. There in 1 Chronicles 13, as they were taking the ark on the cart back to Jerusalem, they had spirited worship, but little regard for the God they were worshiping. If we're going to offer acceptable worship, we will worship God enthusiastically, but with the greatest respect. And it will be characterized by obedience to him and sanctification according to the prescribed manner, and they will sanctify themselves. And that's what we need to do. There won't be some heroic effort on our part like a monk or a nun, but we will be faithful to God in the circumstances of our daily calling, faithful to him. We will worship him, yes, enthusiastically, with the greatest respect, with obedience and sanctification. We won't take our relationship with God casually like Uzzah did, but we will, with diligence, read the word. We'll read the scriptures because we want to know about this God, and we want to know how to worship him acceptably. We want to be pleasing to him. We want to read what he wrote to us. We'll tend to spend time reading the word of God. We will meet with our fellow believers and endeavor to be built up in the faith. And we will present him our heart. Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. We will present him our heart. We present our bodies a living sacrifice to God. That will be our response to him. present him our heart. We won't take our relationship with God for granted. There was Samson. He was especially blessed with the gift of the Spirit of God to be strong for God. And he took it for granted. And after a while, he told that harlot, if you just cut my hair off, I'll be weak like any other man. And she did. She cut his hair off. And what did he do? He got up and he shook himself and he said, I'll just go out like I did before. What do you mean to go out like you did before? You just did the very thing that would... He just took the goodness of God for granted. God has always been with me. He always will be with me. No. We won't take our relationship with God for granted. We won't allow the world to steal our affection from God. James talks about that. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore is a friend of the world is the enemy of God. We won't allow our affections to be stolen from God, but we'll keep our affections to God and not give our affections to the world. God is God. God is holy. God is our judge. God is our all in all. And why would we give our affections and our interests and our passions to the world? We will discover when we do that, that God is angry inside the ark. And we will be put to shame. Going to offer acceptable worship, we won't run with them to the same excessive riot. You say, I don't run with them to the same excessive riot. Well, good. We don't run with them to the same excess of riot. We're, our life is different. It has to be different. We can't just do like everybody else. We need to do the will of God. We need to sanctify ourselves. We need to rid ourselves of those things that are defiling. And we need to do according to the pattern how it was prescribed. And that's going to make us different. We'll conduct ourselves differently. Our friends will be different. Those that help us on our journey. The places we go will be different. We aren't we're gonna go to places where God can go with us. How we use our phone is gonna be different. Because we're just not free to use that wonderful device. And let all those wonderful things and all those unimaginable things that they can do with this phone, we're going to use it in a way that glorifies God. We're going to be careful with that device, the music we listen to, the way we dress, and all those things, because we want God in us. We don't want Him all of a sudden to be angry with us because we're taking Him for granted. Starting to run about and doing our own thing our own way. Paul said, quoting from Scripture, he says, "Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." See, that's what they failed to do back there in Uzzah's time. "And I, wherefore come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." And there is the Lord Almighty, the Holy God. And He says, if you separate yourself from that which is unclean, I will be with you and I'll be a father to you. You'll be my sons and daughters. And that is the key to life. That is the key to living. That is the key to joy. And that is the treasure that we want to have. God in us. What a blessing. John says it this way, "And every man that hath his hope in Him purifieth himself, even as He is pure." Uzzah. There was a lack of obedience and there was a lack of sanctification. They didn't carry the ark on the shoulders of the priests, and then they didn't purify themselves, sanctify themselves before they carried Him. God wants to dwell with us. Yes, He does. He wants to dwell with us. He knows who we are. And He wants to dwell with us. Furthermore, He wants to be our friend. Yes. It's not that He wants to be some distant God. But we must give Him the honor and respect due to His holy name. We have a wonderful, gracious, merciful God. But let us give Him the honor and respect to His holy name, and we not relate casually to our holy God. Let's kneel for prayer. Father, you looked at that story so many years ago as we, mankind, put you on that cart and let you bounce down the road without any purification and in total neglect to what you had said, how it should be done. You were angry with us, and Uzzah died. Lord, if we would learn from that, we would know that you are not one of us. You're holy. You're God over all. And you require our respect and our honor. Lord, that we would respect and honor you. Give you the honor that is due your name, each one of us. Not so much worried about whether other people respect and honor us, but that we respect and honor you, Lord. That we would live according to the prescribed way. That we would sanctify our hearts and our lives so that you can come and dwell in us. If you're in us, Lord, then someday we can ascend. Resurrected, Lord, is the term you use. We can be resurrected. And someday live with you. Thank you, Lord, that even though you are a holy God, you want to dwell with us and be our friend, and that you are, for guiding us day by day. Lord, as we travel this road, that we would walk nobly and honorably in the way that you would have us to walk, and by your grace, we would be your children. And to recede with you forever. Continue to lead us in that walk here. Faithful, day by day, caring for the children, giving guidance to the home, making wise decisions as we go through this life, showing your love to those close to us and to everyone we meet, that we would be your children here. And then by your grace, we would be your children over there. Continue to lead and direct us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.